the almost unanimous verdict at the 2016 Met Gala was that Zac Posen had created the best dress of the evening, a high-tech glow-in-the-dark ball gown worn by actress Claire Danes. To the public, Mr. Posen is a fashion designer, but to his friends and family, he's a great cook. To those that know him, his cinnamon sugar pecans are just as memorable as his signature mermaid dresses. In a new cookbook from Rodale called Cooking with Zac, he offers up recipes that range from rustic to refined and everything in between. It's written with the help of Raquel Pelzel and brings Zac Posen to our show. Welcome.
Thank you.
Have you been interested in cooking as long as you've been interested in fashion?
I have, because I grew up in New York City. And New York City is a food hub, mixing every culture in the world.
And some people say that although you get the best French food in France, you get the second best French food in New York. You get the best Chinese food in Hong Kong, but you get the second best in New York. And we could go on and on and on.
Italian well, I think, food. You know, in New York, you have cultures that had to compete. So they had to do the best of it. And you have crossovers from different cultures. I mean, that's what makes our country and the city incredible.
And then you learned from your father.
I learned from my father. I grew up, we're here downtown. I grew up four blocks from here in a loft on Spring Street. And my mom was working out of, professional. And my dad is a painter, and his studio was half of the loft I grew up in. And so he would cook for the family. It was very important. And, our shopping was Chinatown, Little Italy, and that's how I learned.
And you say you're big on high-quality ingredients.
I am.
Does that mean you have to grow your own in many cases?
Well, ideally, if you can grow your own, how wonderful. What a blessing. I mean, the greatest, we're talking a fashion crossover here, the greatest luxury brand in the world is human is nature. And, you have to nurture it. You have to take care of it. I grow a lot of produce. My parents live in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, full-time, and I get to share their earth and grow beautiful vegetables that I bring into my studio in the summer and canning. And, you can find a lot of great produce.
We're also lucky in New York because we have the great farmers market.
The greatest. I grew up going to the farmers market and learning, about senses and tastes and then how you imagine it all together.
So how do you develop new recipes, or do you simply rely on old ones that you adjust?
It's a mix of both. When I was putting this together, I had definitely, from entertaining I had done at home to different friends and different tastes, had kind of developed a repertoire of different, great classics, my classics. And then in the process of making the book, I brought in a real industry pro who was beyond understated, Raquel. You would never know it in the making of it. And, she would watch me make it. We would taste it. We would tweak it. We'd recook it. We would get it kind of down pat. Then she would cook it at home to test it to make sure. And then we'd have another test round when we shot the book from a blind, person who had never made them before. And I wanted, my food taste is quite eclectic. And I wanted to represent that in the book and bring in things that somebody could, bring into their home. To me, cooking is a real creative process.
But I wonder if there are certain similarities between designing something, a dress or a suit, and putting together a recipe, because you're starting with certain basic concepts, and then it's what you add or how you change things, the variations you do that make them your own.
Absolutely. Very similar. I mean, it all starts with a good material when I'm making clothing. It starts with the fabric. Same thing with an ingredient. Then it's the process of refinement of what you put together in balance. I mean, in fashion, you don't see people reinventing pants.
Yeah.
Until...
But there were cuffs and then there were no cuffs.
Exactly.
And there were pleats and no pleats.
Exactly. And there was, mozzarella. Then there was smoked mozzarella. And now there's burrata, onto the thing. And these kind of trends come in and some stay and become classics and some fall out. But I like the aspect of the sensory aspect of cooking and process.
Is that why this book is kind of visual as well?
Oh, visual was really important. I mean, I had a blast. I had visualized in my mind what my book would look like, and I definitely had developed that on social media, on Instagram, by posting photos. I mean, that's how this book came about, is from posting what I would cook at home.
And you, were you doing dinner parties? Is that where some of these
I was just
things...
cooking for mostly my partner. Uh-huh. But I do dinner parties, some dinner parties, some family meals. But most of it, you know, I live with my partner. He is a French vegetarian, which means a luxury vegetarian. It means they eat lots of bread, lots of cheese, and lots of dessert, but don't need any of it.
Mm-hmm. But do you eat meat?
And he's
meat?
Quite picky. I eat meat.
So what do? You make dishes that, where you just stick
well,
the meat
in for
yourself?
Well, at home I mostly eat vegetarian. Mm-hmm. And then if I have guests, it's my excuse to make a roast duck.
Do you have certain most requested recipes?
I do. I mean, in the summer I shoot a TV show, Project Runway. And when Heidi Klum comes, she goes through my Instagram and pulls the menu from the different images. So, you know, my gnocchi is very popular. My brown butter chocolate chip cookies are essential. And my mom's risotto, which I believe will be online here, is always a surefire hit.
Now, it's the risotto con funghi,
yes,
right?
Yes, mushroom risotto. My mom and dad met in Italy, Florence.
Mushrooms often are used as a substitute for meat anyway, so
they are.
It gives it a kind of meaty flavor?
It gives it an earthy flavor.
And you said
depth.
Your parents met in Italy?
They did. My dad was on a Fulbright. He's a painter, and he was at Yale on a Fulbright, and my mom was New York City girl in her second year abroad from Sarah Lawrence. He knocked on her door.
And the rest
and
is
the
history.
Rest was history.
I'm speaking with Zach Posen, who has a book that has nothing to do with fashion, although it may have a
well,
lot
we
to do with
it
fashion.
Well, we tied it in. Fashion seasons. That was our tie-in.
Cooking with Zach, recipes from rustic to refined. There's also Zachary the Baker.
Yes. The first love.
Now, baking is very different.
Totally.
And so, because you really have to measure very carefully
science.
When you're baking, which
the
you
science.
Don't have to do when you're just saying, I'll throw in a little salt here.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, that becomes, you know, I think there's basic principles to baking. And then you kind of have to break them and learn from your mistakes with baking and then perfect them. But I've always loved to bake. That was kind of the bonding experience that I'd have on weekends with my mom.
Your documentary, House of Z, revealed how brutal the fashion world can be. Is cooking a kind of a respite?
Absolutely. I say that cooking is my fashion detox. It really cuts out the BS of the day because, you know, there's a real humility to working with ingredients. And there's something, an immediate, fast impromptu creativity that then you're sharing. You know, fashion often creates itself through the untouchable and through being on television, through the documentary, and just through the course of the last 16 years of being in the public eye. I wanted to connect more directly. I love fashion. I love what I do. I love building my brand and the collaborations that I work with on a daily basis. But you know, food is human. Food is love.
As a designer, you travel for work. So
I do.
You also have had the opportunity. But you've had the opportunity to cook with some famous people. What did you learn cooking with Marcus Samuelson and who is it? Jada De Laurentiis?
I cooked with Marcus and Jada quite a few years back at the James Beard House. Hmm. Quite intimidating. For a whole dinner, and we kind of broke up the different courses. That was a great...
What led them to put the three of you together?
I can't remember how we all came together, but we did.
And do you remember what you made?
I know that I did a crawfish bisque, and I did a starting hors d'oeuvre with American caviar on a purple potato with a purple borage flour. I know that Marcus made a very long-processed chicken that they started early in the morning, you know, so it would just fall off the bone Giada came into the kitchen, and it was Italian, and it was fresh, and it was fast. And this was a fast learning experience of how to collaboratively plate and serve a dinner in one of the world's greatest and smallest kitchens, and serve, you know, a dinner course all at once.
In this book, you also deal with gluten intolerant eaters, vegans.
Yes.
Does substituting core ingredients like butter, eggs, and flour ever compromise a food's flavor and texture?
It can, if it's not done right. I mean, it's. But I believe, you know, there's a fine balance. I believe in a fine balance of eating. You know, I think if you overindulge, it's just not going to be healthy, no matter what. But I think there's a good balance, and I think everybody should be able to enjoy chocolate.
And your book features a gluten-free bûche de Noël,
yes,
people will be looking at
for the holiday season. And that came through accident. It wasn't intentional to set out to make a gluten-free recipe. It was just
when we built it. How do you replace the butter and the flour?
You know, there's other substitutes throughout it. Well, the gluten isn't in butter. The gluten's in flour content, and you know, there's incredible substitute flours that one can use, and you have to play with your proportions, just like in fashion, to get it. You know, it's you can get consistency by whipping eggs to hold a cake. You know, there's different components.
But in the case of fashion, you also have to deal with the fads of the day. Suddenly,
I try not to.
So you don't worry about length, long skirts, short skirts. Suddenly, everybody's doing denim this season.
Listen, we're living in a time in the world when everybody has their own taste, their own person. We're living really in the personal taste era. And there are, you know, it's not a time period like in the 40s when a fad would come and high to low, everybody had to wear it. We're living in a saturated time. So I've tried with my own brand to create things that are timeless, that are like good entertainment, you know, that just connect to people where, you know, the human body hasn't necessarily, you know, gone through the same transition, I mean, that fashion and fads have. And so, you know, you try to make clothing that looks good on a lot of different body types, and you make clothing that surpasses that, that just celebrates beauty.
Well, I was thinking again that fashion and food often are together. I was recently in in Provence, in Nîmes, where you can eat very well.
Yes.
And they say that denim comes from denim.
Right.
They have been making it for centuries. I always thought it was Levi Strauss. It turns out it's
what were they making? Were they growing the indigo? They must have been.
Whatever. They've been making
very
denim.
Very interesting.
As a judge on Project Runway, what counsel do you give to young designers?
Wow. Well, I think that the role of the young designer has changed greatly. I think we're living in a moment where there's so much opportunity, even though it's very saturated out there. There's so many brands. The power of social media gives you the ability to really tell a story and to put out an image. So I say to young designers, get sewing, get draping, get making your clothing. I don't need to see a sketch or ideas. Actually go and make it. If you can wear your own clothing, I say go out and wear it. I mean, you have to start a company through guerrilla marketing.
People used to make their own clothing.
I think they'll start again soon. I think Victory Gardens will come back. I think that people will start making their own clothing. There's a human instinct to be tactile, and it comes back in different cycles. And with social media, computers, and internet, and that physical human interaction, I believe that people will then find ways to use their hands and eyes and imagination in other ways.
You've also gone to social media as a cook. You have a hashtag at Cooking with Zach.
I have. I do.
Is that a way for you to
express
yourself?
That's how this all started. This is
really?
I posted my food and then I was warned against it from fashion people. I was warned, you know, food repulses fashion people, and I said, nonsense. I said, everybody has an opinion on what tastes they like. And that started it. I mean, then the publishers started calling and the different networks for possibilities, and I'm kind of figuring it all out and piecing it together.
So do you think you'll leave fashion?
Definitely not.
Are you surprised by the longevity of Project Runway?
No.
Has there been much disagreement about who to make the winner?
Absolutely.
This year
it could have gone either way. It could have gone three ways. As a judge this season, and I was just with my fellow judge, Nina Garcia, about an hour ago in my showroom, walking her through my collection. But, Kentaro, who won this season, was like the dark horse.
A professional pianist.
Yeah. I mean, to me, there's two things. You know, he didn't do a linear collection, but fashion is about breaking formulas. And he did the Impact Runway show. I think what is confusing sometimes to the viewer and to the judges, are we judging for the finale the whole season, or are we judging the fashion show?
We have posted some of Zach's recipes on our website, risotto con funghi, bouche de noël, and cinnamon sugar pecans.
Yum, yum, yum.
This Wednesday, December 6th at 8 p.m., Zach will be speaking and signing books at the 92nd Street Y. And then on Thursday, the 7th at 6 p.m., he'll be at Bookmark New York. That's at 400 Bleecker Street. For tickets and more information about all of that, you can visit our show page at wmyc.org/Lopate. The book, Cooking with Zach, written with the help of Raquel Pelzel. Recipes from rustic to refined, and published by Rodale.
Thank you
so much for being on our show.
Thank you for having me.